Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. We are in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. You already know that if you're a regular listener to the Beacon Broadcast. And this is the chapter that gives us practical wisdom in several areas of life and reminds us that with God's wisdom, which is applying God's truth to life, that's what wisdom is, with God's wisdom applied to every area of life, then life becomes meaningful and joyous and fulfilling, and it becomes a treasure. It becomes something that we enjoy. God intends for us to enjoy life. But when we live selfishly, when we try to find pleasure and happiness and joy in the things of this world and leave God out and His Word out of our lives, then everything turns up empty. It all turns to sawdust at some point or another. And we find that it is not fulfilling, and life loses its zest. And so in chapter 11, Solomon begins by giving us some godly wisdom in relationship to money, moves on to godly wisdom in relationship to work, and then finally, in the third section, the one that we're dealing with now, he gives us some godly wisdom for joyful living in some aspects of life, that are not particular pursuits. It's not like money, it's not like work, but it's just some wisdom about life that will help us a great deal if we'll understand it and live our lives in the light of this wisdom which comes from God. So we'll pause and welcome you to this Tuesday, February 16 edition of the Beacon Broadcast. Thank you for considering our need for financial help in order to continue teaching God's Word on this station. The third section of chapter 11, which covers the last four verses, 7, 8, 9, and 10, talks first of all about the treasure of life, that life is a treasure. Life is a gift from God and ought to be understood as a valuable gift, a wonderful gift. Every day is a wonderful gift from God, and we should treat it that way. Every day has its own delights, and we should rejoice in every single day and whatever that day unfolds. Sometimes people get all gloomy because they don't seem to have much variety in life. Every day seems in many ways just like the day before, and the prospect of the next day doesn't look like it's going to be much different. And I recognize that some people are in circumstances where they don't have the potential, the possibility for as many areas of variety as I do. And I thank the Lord that I'm still in good health and I can still drive and I can still go places and enjoy a variety of things. And yet I must also say that for the most part my life is pretty much a routine. And yet what I'm trying to say is even though my life is very predictable, I know basically what to expect on every day of the week. Now, obviously, I can't know everything that's going to happen, but I have a pretty good idea. of what my life's going to be like on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. And I could describe that for you. I'm certainly not going to do that, but I could tell you what my life is like. It's pretty predictable. It's pretty regimented is the right word. That's a little strong, but it's pretty well organized. And I do better in that environment. That's just, I enjoy that. Some people deliberately keep things unorganized just so that life will be more spontaneous. But I'm always looking for how to be the most productive in the interests of Christ's kingdom, how to be the most fruitful in the interests of Christ's kingdom. And for me, a planned life, a planned schedule helps me to achieve that. So I've got a pretty good idea what's probably going to take place on every day of the week. Though, and here's the point, it doesn't matter how regimented your day, your life may seem, there is variety if you'll look for it, if you'll recognize it. No 2 days are alike. When I go over my proposed daily schedule with my wife in the morning, and that's a practice that I developed not from the beginning of our marriage. It would have been helpful to our marriage if I had started that from the very beginning, but it's been a long while now. Somewhere along the way, I realized this is really a good thing to do. In the morning, we have breakfast together, and then we have devotions together. And one of the things we do before we pray is generally tell each one what is on our schedule that day. So I'll tell my wife, I plan to do this in the morning and I plan to do this in the afternoon. And if I've got something scheduled at night, of course, I add that as well. And then she'll tell me what her day is like. And then oftentimes when we get back together in the evening, we report on what happened. Well, this day didn't go quite the way I'd planned because when I got to the church office, I found this waiting for me, and I found this, and I got this phone call, and this person dropped in unexpectedly, and so forth and so on. And so in spite of plans and what I had intended to fill my day with, oftentimes that's not the way it turns out. And I'm not telling you anything you don't know, because I'm sure everybody's life is that way to some degree. But what I'm saying is that when we embrace these things as the aspects of life which make life interesting, then they become fulfilling and joyful. But when we resent them, then we're not embracing life as God has ordained it. I had to learn that a long time ago. I used to make my schedule, and then I would be a little bit peeved that things hadn't gone the way I'd planned. I was peeved at that interruption, that phone call, that thing that came along that I hadn't planned on that kept me from accomplishing what I had put on my list of things to do that day. And I make lists. I don't have a detailed list for every day. Some days I'll make lists, some days I don't. Some days my expectations are simple enough that I don't need to make a list. But I've always got a mental list, and I'm kind of ticking off the things that I had planned to do that day. And it used to be that when things didn't go the way I'd planned, I was a little bit grumpy about that until I had to talk to myself. Sometimes you have to look in the mirror and talk to yourself. And I had to say, Craig, what is the matter with you? Don't you believe that God is sovereign and that He ordains all of these things and that everything you look at as an interruption is actually a divine appointment by God and a divinely given opportunity to minister, to serve God in a way that is a little bit different than what you planned? And after all, what is so sacred about your plans? You make plans in order to keep from wasting time, so you know what you need to do if God gives you the green light, so to speak, to do it. But you also recognize I'm God's servant. He's got every right to change my plans. Just like think of a master-servant relationship. The master says, Fred, or whatever the name of the slave is, instead of doing this today, what you were doing yesterday and what you thought you'd be doing today, I want you to do this instead. I want you to go see this person. I want you to run this errand. I want you to do that. Well, that would be, nobody would consider that to be, to be wrong in any way. That's certainly within the rights of the master to do that, and the servant should expect that. Why shouldn't the master have the right to redirect my schedule? After all, I'm serving him. He's not serving me. It's not his responsibility to make sure that my life goes the way I planned and I want it to go, but rather it's my responsibility to serve my master in whatever he needs for me to do, whatever he desires. I'm serving him. I'm not serving me. And, oh, it was a wonderful day when I finally got that sorted out. Sometimes it takes some time for your theology to catch up with your everyday living. I'm sure all of you have experienced that. Mentally, intellectually, theologically, of course I knew and have known for a long time that God's in charge, God is sovereign, God has a right to do with my life whatever he pleases. So why would I become irritated if he changes my plans? My plans are only there in order to try to serve him better. They aren't my plans. They are my thoughts about how I can best serve him. And if he wants to change those, that's his privilege. I belong to him. And so if he causes somebody to call me unexpectedly and they need some time and attention and some help, then that's my assignment. He changed my assignment for that particular time, and so forth. Now, that's the way we have to look at it. And if we'll look at it that way, then we'll recognize that everything that we might have considered an interruption, an unwelcome intrusion, is not that at all. It's a God-given opportunity. And that makes life interesting. Here's something that I wasn't planning on, but God planned on it. Embrace it. Live in the light of it. Thank God for the opportunity. Thank God that you're still alive. Thank God that you've got the energy, the time, the resources, whatever, to deal with that thing that God has put into your life. What a joy, what a privilege. And what we're talking about is wisdom in joyful living in the area of embracing every day as a gift from God and treasuring it and thanking him for it and living it to the fullest as he lays it out before us. And whether it's a pretty ordinary day or whether it turns out to be a totally unexpected day, either way, it's a joy because it is a day of life that God has given, and we shall embrace it and treasure it and live it to the fullest for his glory. That brings joy in living. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.